Supply chain woes in Japan mean a lot of auto parts are hard to find.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now, the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. Today, Toyota says it's going to stop production at some of its North American plants because of a parts shortage. Marketplace's Asia Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports from Tokyo some manufacturers are looking elsewhere for those parts.
A couple of decades ago, most automakers and big electronics manufacturers assembled their products in Japan. Now much of it's done in China, but custom-made and higher-tech parts requiring more skill to manufacture are still made in Japan. Since the earthquake, though, Japan's had a hard time making and shipping these products abroad, and at least one country wants to fill that gap.
Chinese companies are now able to make high-quality, precision products.
Japanese supply chain expert Toshinori Nimoto.
So I think they'll grasp this opportunity, and they'll now become an even bigger part of the supply chain.
It's already happening, says Nimoto. Nissan has already started switching its precision parts suppliers to China. Nimoto says once they move for a disruption like this, the big companies aren't likely to return to Japan, even after things return to normal. It's an industry worth billions, billions that Japan stands to lose. In Tokyo, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
President Obama's getting hammered from the left and right over his decision to include American forces in the Libyan air campaign. Now the GOP-led U.S. House could take up a measure to defund the American effort. All the while, the economy inside Libya keeps taking a big hit. Tony Falshaw is part of the BBC crew in Tripoli being followed around by government monitors. He's with us now. Thanks, Tony, for being with us.
You're welcome, Steve. Good morning to you.
How has daily life been affected by the no-fly zone enforcement, the Allied campaign there?
Well, life seems to go on normally, although there is an edge about the city. Occasionally, you can sort of break away and talk to maybe a local shopkeeper that's open, but many of the shops here are closed. I would say about 70% of the shops are closed, and the only shops I've seen open are sort of food shops, and you talk to people in there and they're sort of quiet and slowly getting on with their business. But there is a slight edge in the air.
What's the greatest need there right now, Tony?
Yeah, when I've been out, I've seen long lines of people queuing, not only in cars, but also on foot with their gas cans. This morning, I sort of talked to the government officials here, and they tell me there have been no power cuts in Tripoli, but you get the feeling people here are just preparing themselves just in case.
The BBC's Tony Falshaw in Tripoli. Tony, thank you.
You're welcome, Steve. Goodbye.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed right now. European markets are higher, but Asian shares were mostly lower. Portugal's prime minister stepped down after rival parties there nixed the government's latest budget-cutting plan. That means Europe's debt crisis continues to bounce all across the continent. Moody's today even downgraded a bunch of Spanish bank ratings. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 0.5%, about 67 points, to close at 12,086.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong. By CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight nearly 500 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the Knowledge Effect.
New York and Los Angeles on either American coast get a lot of attention because they're the two most populated areas. Well, today, new census data will focus on the true population center of America. Marketplace's Economy 4.0 special correspondent David Brancaccio says the middle of the country moves every 10 years, and he's here to talk about how our nation's population is gravitating. Morning, David.
Morning.
What do you mean the middle of America moves every decade?
Take a piece of cardboard, cut out a map, the shape of the lower 48 states, and then put a grain of rice on the cardboard where each of us lives, the entire population. Where that cardboard map balances is the mean center of population distribution. 10 years ago, a town called Cuba in Missouri on old Route 66, then the new census data came in, as the population shifted south and west. It went to Edgar Springs, Missouri. I telephoned a gentleman named Junior Harris in Edgar Springs, and he actually tends to the grass around the commemorative plaque of the population center.
See, the Highway 63 bypassed it. And ever since then, the population is going down within the city limits. See, we only have one store and a post office is all we have.
So the economy not so great, but they do have the plaque marking the population center for the past 10 years. But that center is now moving somewhere else.
And any idea where?
Apparently, according to some unconfirmed reports, Plato.
Plato, like the squishy stuff?
No, like the Greek philosopher Plato, Missouri population 62. Now, Junior Harris guessed where it might go, and there happened to be some government surveyors taking a look at his plaque the other day.
He said, no, we can't disclose that until next Thursday. And I said, well, I already know where it's going. And he looked at me and said, you do? And I said, yeah, it's going to Plato. And his eyes just locked right on me, and he kind of raised his brow a little bit, like, you know, you told him something that no one else knew.
David, if it is Plato, what does that tell us?
Well, if that does get confirmed, it tells us the population over the past 10 years did not move quite as quickly in the southerly and westerly direction compared to the decade before, maybe 40 miles this time compared to about 50 miles the last time. Perhaps the crisis in the housing market is what's the cause there. We're not as mobile a society, possibly.
Marketplace's David Brancaccio. David, thank you.
My pleasure.
And finally, inflation isn't very funny. In fact, the 2011 cost of laughing index says the price of a chuckle keeps going up. Malcolm Kushner, the guy who compiled the data, says humor can diffuse conflict, even motivate people. But the things he's keeping tabs on are getting more and more expensive. The cost of Groucho glasses up 60% in 2 years. TV writers are charging more for jokes. But thankfully, inflation has not hit the price of rubber chickens. Seriously. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
When you think of Petco, the pet supply store, this is probably not what comes to mind.
It is the size of a Blockbuster video. It is very trendy, upbeat. Your sales staff is in jeans and really cool t-shirts.
I'm Kai Rizdahl taking Fido upmarket next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.